The day was very, very difficult because you were hoping against hope, and the longer it went on, you think, it's not going to be a good outcome. What do you say to somebody? You can't. Then when we got home, and a lot of the minor casualties were in Deal Hospital, Wally went down and he wouldn't let me go. And I was sitting at home and thought, I am going down there. And I walked down and pushing through all these reporters who were sticking mics in the face. Have you got any news? Have you got this? And I'm afraid I was very unladylike, and I swore and told them exactly what I thought. They went into the hospital and I had them on one ward. Maureen Bain was absolutely brilliant. All the nurses and staff at the hospital were. And had all the fellas in the day room. And it was like a party, but slightly hysterical party. Mm. Everybody's very relieved they're still alive. Very good friend of ours was badly injured. And I saw him sitting in the wheelchair, and I went over to talk to him. And he said, Rena, for God's sake, get me out of here. And we went and took him in the ward. He still has flashbacks. Nobody that was there will ever forget it. But he was in a bad way.
And what time of day was this?
This was sort of late morning on the Saturday.
The following day.
Right. I'd heard that three of them were in the same ward in Deal Hospital, and I'd gone down there. I could see that they weren't as badly injured as we thought they might be, because one of them had the roof come down onto his legs, and it took a long time to get him out, and they weren't too confident that he'd have both legs even. Mm. But he was very, very lucky, and apart from having to spend 2 or 3 weeks in a wheelchair, his main concern when I saw him the following day is my daughter used to cut his hair for him. He had quite short hair anyway, but in the explosion he'd had a lot of cuts to his head from broken glass. Only very small cuts, but they were annoying him something rotten. And the first thing he said to me was, please bring Eileen down, I need to have my hair cut. Right, okay. She went into the hospital to cut his hair. She spent an hour gently cutting his hair, making sure she didn't hurt where these cuts and bruises. And anyway, when she finished it after about an hour, he put his hands on his head and gave it the biggest scratch. She couldn't believe it. She spent an hour being as careful as anything. And the first thing he done was get his fingernails. That's better.
I've spoken to Maureen Bain, and the main role she felt of the Deal Hospital was to, she said, to literally hug and comfort the young bandsmen, many of them who, 16, 17, who were, if anything, more traumatised and shocked, and really needed a cigarette and a cuddle, she said. And you probably would.
Sent most of them home, didn't they, who could get away.
I can't remember which day it was, whether it was a Saturday or a Sunday, but the next time I went in to the ward to see them, I took a crate of beer with me. I thought, this may not get past the gate. I got it in and stuck it under one of their beds, and I think Maureen Bain knew about it, but she didn't say anything.
I say it was, they were injured, but it was like a party. They were so relieved, and all they were thinking about was the others that had been injured, and the others that had died.
There's one other thing about going to the hospital. At that time we had a big TA centre in Middledale Road, and there'd been a call for blood. And that following morning, on the Saturday after the bombing, there was an enormous queue of Deal people waiting to give blood. When I saw the queue, it must have been at least half a mile long, but there was an enormous amount of people desperate to help and give blood to all the injured.
Everyone was desperate to do something to help, and if giving blood was the only way they could do it, they were there. My friend, she was a teacher at the school, and she said she queued there for 3 hours. She said, I couldn't do anything else, she said, so I thought, I'll do what I can.